Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and give us some feedback. Also, the Bald-Faced Truth podcast, it's brought to you by Shoe Mill, my favorite shoe store with locations in Portland and Salem and online at shoemill.com. Shoe Mill, where we put the world at your feet.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to the Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
Well, a half dozen Big Sky Conference programs were affected when the Power Fives decided they weren't going to play non-conference football games this football season. Portland State had a couple of opponents that backed out. Tom Wistersell is the Big Sky Conference Commissioner. He is joining us. Tom, I know that you've been on the job since 2018. Did you keep the conference headquarters in Utah? Inquiring minds want to know.
We did. We stayed in Utah. You know, it just makes such geographical sense for our schools. You know, we're spread out over 8 states out here in the West and, you know, a good airport in Salt Lake. And so it made sense to stay here. And we found a beautiful building up in Farmington, Utah, just north of Salt Lake. And it's a great spot. Just wish we could all be there. So it's a nice home for us for the Big Sky Conference.
I'm surprised how productive people are amid this. And I keep hearing it over and over from people who manage offices or run sales teams. They're saying, you know, people are actually being productive. Do you think human nature kicks in at some point? Or are you getting good production out of your staff while they're working remotely?
I think it's been really good. I'll tell you what I've really enjoyed, John, and in the role that I have where, you know, we have 11 full-time members, 13 football schools. We have 2 affiliates in football. Our communication amongst our schools is the best it's ever been. You know, and I think, again, it's out of necessity, right? I mean, normally our schools, the athletic directors would, you know, be focused on campus stuff pretty much nonstop month after month, an occasional phone call with the conference office, and then twice a year, maybe 3 times a year, have meetings. Well, we've been meeting, you know, twice a week with our athletic directors, about every other week with our president's council. And so they've gotten to see each other and interact more than they ever would. And so I think the productivity is really good. The communication's been great. I mean, nothing replaces face-to-face, and we're all social people and, you know, want to be, you know, face-to-face with people. But I think for people that work at a distance, like in this job, and, you know, and anybody that works in athletics, you're spread out over, or if you have a sales team you're leading that's over multiple states, I think this has actually been a positive piece of that.
Tom Wistersell is our guest, Big Sky Conference Commissioner. I noticed the news this week that you guys are moving up your football media day, that big football day where you'll get coaches and student athletes that'll get to meet virtually with media. Some of the conferences, like the Pac-12, have postponed it. What's the logic behind sort of moving it up?
Ours is all about positivity, John. We want to give our coaches and our players the recognition they deserve. They've all worked hard to get to this point. We want to have a day where we talk about football. We get excited about what could happen. And it's just a way for us to celebrate what's going on in the conference and to have, again, a really positive message, both, you know, with social media and the interaction with our great student athletes, and be able to showcase the tremendous coaches we have here in the Big Sky. So it was all about just ensuring that we could make sure we had those days to celebrate that.
You've worked as an athletic director, you know, both at Akron, and you were also, you know, at a major college program, I believe. Were you involved at Wisconsin, is that right?
I was at Wisconsin and Minnesota. I worked at both universities there. So, yeah, so been at all levels. No doubt about that.
How does that help you when you become a commissioner, that you're familiar with the day-to-day grind of an AD?
Well, I think it's so valuable, and you know, you'd have to ask the people in our conference what they think of the value. But I think what I can do is, when I'm with our president's council, I can talk to them about, hey, here's what your ADs are thinking. And when I'm with the ADs, I know what it's like to sit in that chair, and I know the pressures they're under, and I know the different things pulling at them. And so I think it's really valuable to have that school experience. Now, you know, everybody's experience is different. But, you know, when you've worked on a college campus and a large college campus or a smaller one in different sized communities, you just gain so much experience about the different things that are going on that, you know, I found it very valuable. And hopefully I can be that type of consultant. And I feel like I'm that for our athletic directors. They'll call me and be like, hey, you know, what do you think of this? And how would you handle this? And, you know, I certainly don't have all the answers, but I'm happy to say, hey, here's how what I've done in the past when I've encountered that, and here's what worked good, and here's what didn't work good. And it's all about trying to achieve the same goals. We're trying to make them and help them be the best they can be, help our schools to achieve excellence in athletics. And, you know, for many of our presidents who a lot of times arrive at the president's level without a lot of interaction with athletics, it can seem really odd to them, the things that happen in college athletics. And that's where I know I can be helpful, because they'll call me and be like, hey, have you ever heard of this before? You know, with whether it's a football coach, yep, or maybe it's a search they're doing for a staff member or something, and I can be helpful that way.
We saw some of the Power Fives that have either already moved to a conference-only schedule, others probably, you know, thinking about it at least. It directly affects some of your programs. Portland State comes to mind for a lot of our listeners. They had games against Oregon State and Arizona that would have helped fund their athletic department. What kind of counsel do you give your Big Sky members as this is unfolding, and what do you think of that movement? Did they jump the gun?
Well, you know, again, I don't want to second guess other people's decisions, but I, you know, it was a real kick in the teeth to us, quite frankly. You know, I think the thing that's frustrating is, you know, our schools are working hard to get ready. Our athletic programs are working hard to get ready. And, you know, I think a lot has been made of the different testing procedures that are out there for the virus and how teams are going to prepare for that. I think what's disappointing is we weren't given the opportunity to even try to meet the standards that they wanted to set. And, you know, set the money aside, you know, those games are good for everybody. And, you know, and when you think about, people talk about the bubble that each college athletic program is, you know, I can make the case that it's safer for Portland State to play Oregon State than it is for Oregon State to play UCLA. And, you know, safer for Idaho to play Washington State than it is for Washington State to play Arizona State. So, you know, I, like I said, it wasn't surprising that it happened with the Pac-12 after the Big Ten made the decision. They do lots of things together, so that didn't really surprise me. But I guess, again, I was disappointed that our schools didn't get the opportunity to even try to meet the standards. You know, it wasn't like they said, you know, hey, Portland State, you got to do A, B, C, D, and E in order to play this game, and then give Portland State the option to say, I'm sorry, we can't meet that, or we can. And so that's disappointing, because that was a, you know, I believe it was seven games in our conference, six different schools. As you mentioned, for Portland State, it was two. And so that's a real hit to our programs financially. And so, you know, as we wait to make decisions about what we're going to do, that certainly has impact there.
What are those markers that you're looking at as you try to formulate decisions? And certainly your conference presidents and ADs will be involved and have input there. But what are you looking at?
Well, we're really reading the marketplace, you know, as far as where our guarantee games are at. We've got still got a number of games out there against the Mountain West. We have a game against the Sun Belt, the SEC. I mean, we've got still got a number of guarantee games out there that we would love to be able to play. And so we're waiting on those decisions to be made. We're also monitoring the health and safety standards for every one of our schools as they get ready to open up, and to see if we'll be able to kind of match the opening of football and volleyball and soccer and all of our fall sports with what each community is doing. And so, you know, from my standpoint, my job is all about monitoring the other conferences, talking to the other commissioners. We talk quite a bit. You know, I talk to, whether it's Larry Scott or Craig Thompson out west here or others, we communicate quite a bit about what's going on. And so we've set kind of a decision time frame of the end of the month. Whether or not that'll be the final decision or not, who knows? A lot can happen in the next 10 days. But that's kind of our time frame, because we'd like to give our schools the opportunity to be able to communicate to their student athletes about what their plans are as far as bringing them back for fall practice and the start of classes beginning.
I think you guys are in an interesting position, a unique position, because I think some of the Power Fives are going to say, hey, we can't move back to spring because we've got a pile of kids who are going to want to get ready for the NFL draft, and they may not want to suit up if we move this season to spring. But in the Big Sky, while you still have guys that go to the NFL, I think you could have a more seamless transition there. Is a spring season on the table for you guys?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think you hit it right on the head, John. It is a little more seamless for us. And the biggest reason for that, in my mind, is because the FCS is part of the NCAA championships. So we could work together as a group, FCS, and go to the NCAA and say, you know what, this fall is not going to work. And we're going to want to move our playoffs to the spring as well. And then you play a conference schedule, or you play games March and April, and then you have a championship playoffs in May, and you could play the championship game Memorial Day. So that's certainly there as a plan B. I mean, that's not plan A. Plan A is still, let's find a way to make this fall work, and everybody's working so hard on that. But we have to also work on plan B. We got to have both going at the same time. Parallel paths right now, because we can't predict the future, but we can certainly plan for it. And that's what we're doing right now.
When you're at Wisconsin, you're looking at, you know, football driving 75% of the athletic department revenue with gift giving included. What is the typical Big Sky Conference program or athletic department looking at if there's no football at all? How much of a hit is that to your typical member?
So, you know, our membership's kind of all over the board as far as the size of the program goes and the football revenue. Some of them, like Montana State, drive so much revenue through ticket sales and donations that, you know, it's really hard to envision them not driving revenue from football. Some of our schools don't draw as much. And so, you know, I think what you're looking at as far as this goes is, you know, you have about 70-75% of an athletics department's revenue, probably on average in our conference, comes from institutional funds. And then the other 25% is generated by the athletic department. So our challenge becomes is, you know, if somebody was going to if their football budget, let's say, was $3-4 million, and $1 million of that was going to be guarantees, let's say, and $500,000 to $1 million of it was going to be ticket sales. If you take away that guarantee money, well, all of a sudden now that you just lost a third of your football budget. Now, if you're not playing games in the fall, you potentially lost another third. Now you start to wonder, God, how can we even have football at all? And when it's going to fund so much of the rest of the athletic department, it puts everybody in a real bind. So it's, you know, it's different than the Power Five, where they're drawing such a huge percentage from those. But again, when you're thinking about the money that is generated is still from football, you know, almost entirely for our schools, it's very debilitating if fall football can't happen.
If spring football becomes a thing and it's a national decision and the Power Fives go along with it, are those non-conference games back on the table in some form, or have you been told that ship has sailed?
No, we haven't really talked that much about the non-conference games in the spring. You know, I think primarily people, like I said, are focused on the fall. We would be focused on, you know, if there were opportunities to pick up a non-conference game, I think schools would do that. But I think primarily people would want to play at the FCS level, play a conference schedule, and then try to get into the playoffs and potentially win a national championship. That's where our focus would be. But, you know, speaking for example, right there where you're at, you know, if the Power Five moves to the spring and we move to the spring and Oregon State and Portland State can pick up a game somewhere in there, then absolutely I hope that can happen. It makes sense both from a cost perspective, a medical perspective, and quite frankly, as we all know, those are the games that fans want to see. They want to see the local teams play each other.
What's the best part of being the commissioner of a conference?
You know, I think the best part is the different people you get to work with. We've got great leadership, great presidents, great ADs, just people that you really enjoy being with and learning from, and hopefully you can be helpful to them, you know, in the journey that we're all on. And, you know, for us at the FCS level, it's kind of fun. We're in the Power Five, at the FCS level. So, you know, we had four football teams get byes that's never happened before in the history of FCS football. So, you know, we're really strong at the top, and, you know, we're close to winning a national title. And so being a part of those teams and a part of the discussion about how we make everything better, how do we draw attention to the Big Sky Conference? One of the things we've done that's, I think, paid off in great dividends is we have invested in a position on our staff that's just doing digital and social media, and so we've just been able to generate so much more content, telling stories about our people and about the success and that, and that's a lot of fun because that's what we're all about. We're all about trying to figure out ways to promote our student athletes and coaches and to be the marketing arm for our universities, so that when people think of a school, when they think of Portland State, we want them to think about that beautiful basketball facility that they have on campus, and you know, a football team that's done an amazing job in spite of not having an on-campus facility. And so we want people to think of those things, and that's our job in the conference office.
Yeah, and I keep looking at some of the surrounding high school programs, or maybe a multi-use stadium that you could be used for high school championships that the city could get involved in. Have you been involved at all with Portland State on trying to help them find a home stadium, or is that a issue that has to happen locally?
You know, it's a local issue, but certainly, you know, the president and then Val, the AD, I mean, we've had conversations about it, just kind of me more asking them about what's going on, what the discussions are. Not something typically we would get involved in unless somebody asked for help there, but obviously that's, you know, anything like that would be great for Portland. It'd be great for Portland State. And, you know, I think the communities, you know, that I've seen those types of venues get built in, they really rally around that. And it's used way more than people would ever think they are. You know, those are the types of facilities that are used, you know, 350 days a year. And so those are exciting things for communities to rally around, and would love to see that happen.
All right. I know we're, you know, if you had asked me 2 months ago, I would have had no idea what was coming 2 weeks from now. But you've set this end of the month deadline for the conference. We've talked about pushing back to spring. Are there, what other options are on the table? Is it as simple as, hey, play on time as is, move back a few weeks, move back to spring and cancel? Are those the options? Am I missing any?
No, I think you got them all hit perfectly there. I think the delay part of it, I think that's the part that makes everybody uncomfortable because it's so uncontrollable, right? I mean, you know, people want to start on time, but does that mean we all start the first week in September? Or could it be the second or third or fourth? You know, and so how long do you continually kind of push this back? And if we're talking about football, preparing your team all of this time but not playing. And at some point, you're just going to say, what are we doing here? You know, these people are sick over here. These people can't play now. And at some point, there probably would be a tipping point to spring. But when that's going to happen, your guess would be as good as mine, John.
Tom Wistersell, Big Sky Conference Commissioner. Tom, thank you so much for making time for us. I appreciate you.
You know, it was great being on. Loved the bald guy, the bald face truth. From another bald guy to, you know, I think anything we can do to promote baldness, I think, is a wonderful thing, John.
We're so making it
thanks
cool.
Thanks for having me on.
All right.
That's awesome.
Thanks, Tom. Appreciate you.
Thank you.
Anytime you can make baldness cool, you do, right? Leave it here. You got the Bald Face Truth statewide on the Bald Face Truth Radio Network. Well, UC Berkeley has issued a campus update. This came in just a few minutes ago. UC Berkeley announcing that they have made the difficult decision to begin the fall semester with fully remote instruction on campus at UC Berkeley. So file that away as we have this discussion. I'm super excited about the top of the hour, and Alabama Adriana should be excited about this guest we have coming up the top of the hour as well. Todd Medina, former UFC title holder in 12 different classifications. He's now known as the Fight Coach on TikTok. And he goes on TikTok and he offers advice to civilians like Judah or Adriana. If you got in a fight, Todd Medina has some pointers for you. Do you want to hear from Todd Medina?
Absolutely.
Am I just like the go-to for people that want to fight? Like, why is it me?
I was thinking, I'm going to bring up that you got punched getting on public transportation just this summer. And kind of get his input on, all right, if you're in a situation like that in the future, like, what do you do or what expectations do you have? I was on TikTok just burning, like, went down that rabbit hole, was burning like a couple hours looking at nothing. And I stumbled upon Todd Medina, who basically was saying, if you end up in a fight, most people don't know how to position their body if they're going to be in a fight to, you know, in a defensive stance. And I took great note to this, like, okay, if I'm ever in a fight, like I'm at Safeway and I'm telling the guy, put the mask on, and breaks into a fist fight. He was basically saying, you know, most people are right-handed. You want to keep stepping left as you're fighting this person because you get outside their right hook, and they can't hit you with their most powerful punch. And he was talking about too, kind of turning your body sideways, not just squaring up straight ahead, giving them less of a target. It's just little stuff like that, guys. You know, Judah, if you're in a fist fight at Bed Bath & Beyond or something, and now you'll know what to do.
How'd you know? I mean, this is good, because now if I see people without a mask, I'll know. I'll get sideways, and we'll start going at it.
Hey, Alabama Adriana, you get on public transportation since the incident?
Yes, I have.
How do you feel when you get on? Are you wearing headphones? Are you being more alert? What has changed?
Honestly, it's taken a while for that anxiety to go away. I was actually just talking to somebody about this yesterday. It's taken a while for that anxiety to go away. But if I see a situation, like if I'm walking down the sidewalk and I see somebody who seems like they're having a hard time or something like that, I usually tend to remove myself from their path, I guess, just get away as quickly as I can, just because that initial anxiety does, like, set in.
Yeah.
But I honestly have only ridden public transit, like, maybe for an extended amount of time, maybe once or twice since that happened, only because I had to.
Yeah, and I think it does sort of reframe your expectations for stuff like that. James is in Portland. He's called in. He has a comment to make. James, what's up, man?
Hey, what's happening, John? Todd Medina. That's awesome. Can't wait to hear what he has to say. I know. So just a couple things. I hope Larry Scott was listening to that interview you just had, because he better watch out. His job may be gone. What a difference just in the communication skills of that guy versus Larry Scott. I want to just college football, college basketball too. You know, I just don't see how it's going to go off. John and Ed Orgeron was being interviewed recently on the Dan Patrick Show, and you know, he was talking about how LSU has done a great job with COVID. You know, we feel 100% confident. You know, go listen to some of those coaches in the South. You'd think COVID, you know, doesn't even exist. It's just ridiculous how they're acting as if it's not going to be delayed. And it's just mind-boggling to me. I do not see how it's going to go off at all this year. But college basketball, I think, is the one that's really going to have a hard time. For example, the West Coast Conference Player of the Year from Gonzaga just left and went back to Serbia to play professionally. At least these kids in college basketball can go play overseas professionally. There's no other option for football players. So college basketball has got to be nervous that they're going to see all their best players go play pro across the LCC.
Yep.
So thanks, John.
And I've stopped looking at things like infection rates and mortality rates, and I'm looking at what high school sports are doing, what junior colleges are doing. I'm looking at the entities that don't have revenue at stake. What are they doing?
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.